Welcome to the Teaming Against Trauma podcast, brought to you by Dorchester Children's Advocacy Center. My name's Brooke Anderson, and I'm so grateful that you're here with us. We'll be talking about the way child advocacy professionals come together to fight against trauma and the effects that it has on children. From these conversations, my hope is that you'll gain a better understanding of the way the Child Advocacy Center model works and leave feeling inspired with action steps that you can use to better understand trauma and prevent child abuse. This work truly takes a team to do. So now, I'm considering you a part of ours. Welcome to the team. Now let's fight together. Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the Teaming Against Trauma podcast. This is Brooke Anderson, and I'm so excited that you're here today. I'm actually going to be on the show by myself today. So, surprise, you get just me. We'll be back next month with some more new people that we're going to get to hear from, and I can't wait for what's coming up. But I want to tell you about something that is probably one of the most exciting things that we get to do in the prevention and outreach department, and that is to prepare for Child Abuse Prevention Month. So Child Abuse Prevention Month is every April. It is nationally recognized as the month that we are advocating for awareness of child abuse and prevention strategies on how to prevent child abuse, because obviously, a lot of what we do at DCAC is prevention in our department, but we do a lot of treatment services as well, and we're serving over 1,000 clients every year that are experiencing a child abuse and experiencing the effects of child abuse. And so, for Child Abuse Prevention Month, every April, we try and really blow it out of the water and really just saturate our communities with as much education and prevention awareness as we can, because ultimately that's the goal. Prevention is the ultimate goal to protecting children. So I decided to do this episode on my own to kind of give you some tips about what prevention of child abuse can look like for you. And I believe that whoever you are, this will help you. And whether you're a parent or caregiver or someone that is around children or works with children or just loves children, and maybe you'll be closer to them in some other seasons of your life. And so my goal is that this will be beneficial and helpful for anyone, because we really do need everyone to protect children and prevent abuse. I want to let you know that for Child Abuse Prevention Month, this is our third year partnering with the Dorchester and Berkeley County Libraries, YMCAs, police departments, sheriff's offices, DSS offices, and solicitor's offices, as well as having some materials and awareness in the town centers as well. And so we've totaled around 29 not around, agencies that are involved in CAP Month activities that we are distributing materials and awareness, promotional education out to in our communities. And so we work with each county, as well as the town of Somerville as well, to have a proclamation for Child Abuse Prevention Month where they read off the importance of this to the community. And it seems like just maybe a formality, but it's very impactful because there's key leaders in that room and them declaring and proclaiming that Child Abuse and Child Abuse Prevention Month is an important part that is supported by them and their community is very powerful. And so we're really excited to have that again in Berkeley and Dorchester County. All of that being said, I want you to hear that I think the most important and most exciting part of Child Abuse Prevention Month is that it truly is a month of hope. A lot of what we think about when we think about child abuse and trauma is kind of difficult and it's hard to grasp. And I know some people even will like wince when I start to talk about any of the specifics of kind of what we see and what we're dealing with. But prevention is the ultimate goal when it comes to protecting children. If we're able to prevent child abuse, that is what we need in our community. We don't want to have to be on the back end. My job is to try and put us out of business so that we don't have to be doing forensic interviews and treatment services with children that have experienced trauma. So I want to let you in on some tips about how to prevent child abuse among the children that you care for, that you love, or that you feel responsible in any way to keep safe. Jumping in, one of the absolute most important factors when it comes to protecting children is that making sure that they have safe adults in their life that they're able to identify in a time that may feel unsafe to them, or if something unsafe or questionable happens to them. So safe adults is the term that we use. We say that they must be trustworthy people over the age of 18 in that child's life. And we recommend that children have at least 5 safe adults. We kind of use like their hand that they can remember who those adults are on each finger. That in any time that they have any questions about anything, they can go to them and they can ask them questions and tell them that they feel safe with them. We recommend now that there's at least 2 of those safe adults that are not in the family or not in the home. Now, you might be asking, why is that the case to have 2 be outside the home and outside the family? And that is because over 90% of the time when a child is sexually abused, their abuser is someone that they know and trust. And they may be someone that you know or trust as well. And so that may be a reason that they could feel uncomfortable coming to you first. Now I'm kind of talking to parents or caregivers if they're your child. But anytime you're someone's safe adult, you may likely know the other safe adults in that child's life. And so you want to make sure that in some ways there's some separation between who those adults are, because we know that statistics say that 90% of the time this is happening by someone the child knows or trusts. If something ever happened where you also weren't there, like at school, and this was maybe your child or a child that is under your care at an after school program, or maybe this happens at home and you're in charge of them at school, in different situations, children don't always have access to, you know, the internet and cell phones like we do. They probably don't, especially the younger ones. And so they need to have a safe adult that is going to be close enough to them that they will see in enough time of that happening that they can talk to and ask questions and get help from. And so I would say that these 5 safe adults should be somewhat separated from each other and spread out, and you can kind of help work with a child to make sure that the 5 that they are choosing are those things. Another major protective factor to helping protect child sexual abuse is that children know from a very young age. We actually start with our prevention program, body safety, we call it, or be safe. We use little puppets to explain this, but we use the anatomically correct names for body parts starting at age 3 years old. So this may sound shocking to some people, but most research shows that this is extremely important in preventing child sexual abuse. And it's pretty simple. We can pretty simply teach those anatomically correct names for body parts to our children and empower them to use those if something would ever happen. And this is really helpful to accurately describe if something does happen to a child, what that really is, in a way that their safe adult and really any adult could clearly understand. It's not misinterpreted. It's not confusing about what they're saying. It is direct and clear. And this is a really important part of the investigation as well. If anything would ever go to that stage, this can help a child's case tremendously in a forensic interview and in that investigation when that's happening. So children knowing anatomically correct names is critical. And we encourage that instead of using any nicknames for body parts, not only in what I just said and the reasons that I just explained, but also because we want to teach children that their genitals and their private areas are not something that they need to be ashamed of or feeling like they're not allowed to talk about. Now, we would need to do some education around when that's appropriate and when it's not, right? Kids think that that stuff's kind of funny, but we don't want to create this mentality that there's a secrecy and a shame around a part of their body. And if we do, that's actually the exact tactics that offenders can start to use to keep children from disclosing. They're using a lot of shame and a lot of secrecy from letting that out, the abuse that they're doing to them. So it is super helpful to teach that to children from a very young age. And I will say that is adults' job to equip children in that way. So children do need to be equipped, but we as adults need to be the ones that are taking these initiatives and educating them and teaching them, and then also watching out for them and making sure that we are aware of some of these signs and what this can look like. And so I'll get into that. And when I'm talking about this, I keep thinking about as well that we need to explain okay and not okay touches around their private body areas. So helping children realize that some forms of touch are okay, like consensual hugs, high fives, or fist bumps. Then we also need to teach them that some touches are not okay, right? No one should be touching their private parts, nor should they ever be asked to touch other people's private parts. While some body parts are private, there are times when a parent or a doctor may need to touch those body parts in order to keep them safe and healthy. Now, this could be a confusing touch, so you want to help a child understand the difference and let them know that they can always ask questions if they feel any sort of confusion around that. There are also numerous books that you can read to help explain these things in an age-appropriate way. One book that we recommend is My Body is Special and Private by Adrienne Simone, who is the director of the Mama Bear Effect. And this is a sexual abuse prevention organization that also has some other great resources. You can follow them on social media or check out their website at mamabeareffect.org. And they have awesome prevention education materials for caregivers and for people working with children that can really help around this topic. At this point, you may be feeling kind of uncomfortable. I know that talking about child abuse and talking about child sexual abuse can be a scary thing. And that's the reason that most people want to act like it doesn't really exist and would not want to think about this ever happening to a child that they love or that they care for, because they believe they're a good parent and they're protective and they look out for their child. And so nothing like this could ever happen to a child under my care. Well, I want to encourage you that I'm sure that's true. I'm sure that you are very protective and that you are a wonderful parent or caregiver that cares about your child and wants to do everything you can to protect them. I'm hoping that's why you're listening to this podcast. But the bad news that I also have to tell you is that statistics show 1 in 10 children will be sexually abused before their 18th birthday. And it's not just in one place. It is happening everywhere. It's happening across all races, all religions, all socioeconomic and educational levels. It is not in any way confined to a certain group of people or a certain group of children. The best way that we can protect ourselves and our children is to be prepared So we have to talk about these things to be prepared. And so I know that it's uncomfortable, and I know that maybe you're questioning some of the things that I recommended and said, and I'd love to hear more of your thoughts on those. But I want you to hear how important it is that we have these conversations, that we talk about these things, that we talk about these things not only with our children, but also with our families and also with our communities. Talking about these topics helps remove the stigma that has surrounded them for so long. The secrecy and the shame I was talking about that surrounds child abuse is one of the factors that makes it so hard for victims to feel like they can come forward. And if we're not talking about it, we are not doing our best to prevent it and to create an environment that supports victims rather than makes them stay in the shame and secrecy. So let's not treat child abuse like it's a secret. That is where it thrives, in secrecy. And that's another point that I do want to make, is to teach our kids that we don't keep secrets. We keep surprises. So sometimes they may want it. You may want to keep a surprise about a gift that you got someone in the family, or you want to have them come to a surprise birthday party. And so they may have surprises, but no secrets. I would take the word secret out of the vocabulary for children, because this is just creating, again, that idea that we don't tell certain things and we don't talk about certain things. And you don't want to emphasize that to children, because when this comes to any sort of safety situation, we want them to know that they can talk to you about anything and they can talk to their safe adults about anything. Back to a little bit of the advocating for child abuse prevention initiatives in your family and in your community, I want to ask you, do you feel like you are advocating for children and child abuse prevention initiatives within your community? We've kind of talked about talking to your kids and in your families, what that might look like, and setting those roles and how you're showing your children what's important and who they can talk to. But also, are we doing that in our communities? I once heard someone explain this idea of how breast cancer awareness, the campaign that was done with the pink ribbon, how it took away so much of the stigma that was previously there about breast cancer being an embarrassing or shameful thing. And it actually took that and made it a thing of empowerment. For many people, they feel super empowered when they're doing walks or runs for people who they love or people who are survivors of breast cancer. Why is that the case when it's so different when it comes to child abuse? Why would we feel so much embarrassment potentially, or awkwardness about saying that we are a survivor of child abuse, or we are a survivor of child sexual abuse, or someone we love or know or care about is? We want to change that in our culture. We want to make that shift from embarrassment and from shame, because that's where child abuse thrives. And we want to talk about it openly and honestly. We want to call it what it is and be advocates, not only with our own children and our own families and the children under our care, but also in our community. And so that is what I invite you into this April. It's the perfect time that you can really lean into child abuse prevention for Child Abuse Prevention Month this April. So I ask you to join us in spreading awareness and education about child abuse prevention. You will likely see blue pinwheels all around our communities, which is the national symbol for child abuse prevention. The pinwheel represents the joy and happiness that every child deserves. And you can find these gardens around Dorchester and Berkeley County for sure. This is a national awareness month, and so you should be able to find them wherever you are. But you could also plant your own pinwheel garden in your neighborhood or in your community center and make this awareness known to everyone. Hopefully it will at least spur on questions about what these are. And children also love them. They love picking them up and playing with them. And it brings back this sort of childhood joy and happiness that we want our children to always be experiencing. There's also going to be, just so you know, educational materials that have been given out and distributed by us at the local YMCAs and libraries, police department, solicitor's office, and Department of Social Services offices. So stop by and get some of those materials. If you find yourself there, or if you're able to go there at those locations throughout the month of April, please stop by and grab some of those so that you can help us. Now, I hit on some of the high points of prevention tips that I wanted to share with you, but I want to encourage you to continue following along with us on social media, as well as our caregiver newsletter that I'll link in the show notes, and continuing to listen to our podcast. During the month of April and even throughout the year, on all of these platforms, we'll be putting out education prevention tips that I hope will be beneficial to you. You can also visit our website, where we'll have information on all of these things and more. Lastly, I want to invite you to our April Community Awareness Luncheon on Thursday, April 25th from 11:30 a.m. to 1 o'clock p.m., where we host anyone in the community for a tour of our center, as well as a free lunch and a presentation given by our executive director, Dr. Kay Phillips. She'll show you what the CAC model is, more about what we do at DCAC. You'll also get free lunch that's really good. It's always amazing. And maybe we can meet you in person. Getting this knowledge of our center and where you can actually see it is really helpful for people to understand the way that we serve and care for children in our community. I have one more thing to add. I'm sorry I said that was the last, but one more thing is that we will have booths at the Flower Town Festival in Somerville happening April 5th through the 7th, as well as the Grits Festival in St. George, April 12th through the 14th. And so we would love for you, if you're there, to come by our tent and say hi and let us know who you are and tell us your thoughts on our podcast and the education that we are pushing out. And also know that we are on your team, that we truly want you to be empowered. We want you to know that you're an important part and you have an important role in protecting the children in our community. Truly, we really, truly mean that, and we need you. So come say hi, come meet us. Also, like and subscribe to our channel so that you can keep listening and learning more. If you have any questions, please email me at banderson@dorchestercac.org. If you have questions about this episode or any other episodes, or if you would like any assistance in spreading awareness for Child Abuse Prevention Month in your community and among the people that have been placed in your life, then I would love to hear from you and assist you in any way possible. So, thank you so much for tuning in and listening in. I hope that you have an awesome rest of your March and have a really awesome April as we celebrate spreading awareness of child abuse prevention and spread these tips and more even further. Thanks for tuning in to this episode on the Teaming Against Trauma podcast. To stay connected, you can follow us on Instagram or Facebook. You can also visit our website to learn more. We'd love for you to subscribe to our channel and leave a review on whatever platform you use to listen to this on. As I've said before, this work truly takes a team to do, and that will help us add more people to our team as we keep teaming against trauma together.